Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Moichotin Daf Chof. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief four-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 17 lines from the top of the Omid. On the side of the Gemara, you'll notice we have a nosei, a topic heading, where we've written Machloikis Tanoim, a Tanaic controversy, Kamo Zman Lifnei Horegel Shokfia Samita, how many days prior to a holiday where one had buried his relative and started practicing Kfiyas Hamita. This is one of the practices of the 7 days of mourning where one flips over his bed. That's called Kfiyas Hamita. How many days before the holiday Poiter Oisoi Milahamshich Achar Haregel, from the need to continue that practice after the holiday? I hope that anyone who is listening to this shiur heard our previous shiur. Otherwise, the amount of introduction time would be otherwise necessary. And of course, anyone who did learn the previous daf would simply be bored by that. So we're assuming you are familiar with the concept of pre-holiday mourning, observed mourning days that were, we'll say, interrupted by the onset of a holiday, and we saw the possibility already of that when that happens, as we saw in the Mishnah, 3 days before a holiday, and then the arrival of the holiday, that would cancel the need for continuing the 7-day mourning period. And we spoke about different restrictions that apply during the 7-day mourning period, and there's also a 30-day mourning period that we spoke about. Right now we're focusing on the initial 7-day mourning period. Amongst the restrictions we mentioned already was the prohibition of bathing, and now we're making reference to the need for an inverted bed during those days. So our Gemara deals with how many days before the holiday would justify the non-requirement of completing the total of 7 after the holiday. Tana Rabbanan, Kiyem Kfiyas Hamita Shloisha Yomim Koidim HaRegel, if one fulfilled the rules of inverting the bed 3 days before the holiday, Eino Tzorach L'Chfoiso Acha HaRegel, Divrei Rebbe Eliezer, by having observed 3 days of inverted bed before the holiday then comes and cancels the need for continuing that practice after the holiday. V'chachomim omrim, the chachomim are much more lenient. They say, afilu yoim echo v'afilu shol achas. Even if it's a mere 1 day, or even a few hours, even 1 hour before the holiday. In other words, if someone unfortunately had a loss and buried their dead just an hour before the holiday, and during that time he inverted his bed upon the onset of the holiday, he no longer needs to continue that practice, which is ordinarily a 7-day practice. He doesn't have to continue it after the holiday. By the mere fact that he observed a little bit before the holiday, that is enough. And that gives the holiday the power to cancel the need to complete the observance afterwards. Omer Rabbi Elazar ber Shimon, Hein Hein Divrei Beis Shammai, Hein Hein Divrei Beis Hillel. The machlokis that we just saw between Rabbi Elazar and the Chumim actually parallels an earlier machlokis between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. She Beis Shammai Omrim Shloisha Yomim, U Beis Hillel Omrim Afilu Yoim Echad. Beis Shammai corresponding to the opinion reflected by Rabbi Elazar that you need 3 days of observance in order for the holiday to cancel the rest, and according to Beis Hillel, even 1 day is enough. Omar Rav Huna, Omar Rabbi Chiyo Bar Abba, and Rabbi Yochanan, V'Amri Lo, another version by way of how this is presented, Omar Luhu Rabbi Yochanan, L'Rabbi Chiyo Bar Abba, U L'Rav Huna. the second version has Rabbi Yochanan preaching to or teaching to Rabbi Priya and Rav Huna, Afilu Yoim Echon, Afilu Shaw Achas, even one day and even one hour. Rava Omar Halocha, Kitana Didon, the Omar Shloisha. Rava rules like the opinion of our Tana, of our Mishnah, that required 3 days. Ravina Ikla Lesura de Poras. Ravina visited, went to the city of Sura on the Poras, on the river. Omar Lei, Rabbi Rav Chaviva, the Ravina. Hilchasa Mai. Rav Chaviva asks Ravina, what's the final ruling? Omar Lei, so Ravina answered, Afilu Yoimecha, Afilu Shaw Achas. Even the small amount of time is sufficient to allow the holiday to cancel the rest. Yosef Rav Chiyobar Abba, Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Yitzchok Nafcha, Akilo, the Rabbi Yitzchok Ben Elozer. These three Rabbonim, Rav Chiyo, Rav Ami, Rav Yitzchok, were sitting on the kilo, the porch, the entranceway to Rav Yitzchok Ben Elozer's home, Nofak Milsa Mi Binayhu. And from amongst them, the following was said. Minai Lavelus Shiva. What's the basis of the 7 days of mourning? Now, you see, this bow tie is a continuation of our markings that we introduced in our previous year, where the Gemara is seeking sources for the different mourning periods, the 30-day mourning period that we discussed in our previous year, and now the 7-day mourning period. What's the basis, the source for 7 days? Tichtiv, the Pasuk says, V'afachti chagechem li'evel. The Pasuk in the prophet Amos says, I converted your holidays into mourning periods. But there's an association between the two. Ma chag shiva, just like the basic holiday, when you see holidays in the Torah, the three main holidays are characterized by a 7-day period during which people bring their holiday sacrifices. So af avelus shiva. The Gemara asks, V'emo atzeres dechad yoma. Why do you say when the Pasuk refers to holidays as 7 days, why not say it's 1 day? The holiday of Shavuos, as far as the holiday aspect of Shavuos, is a 1-day holiday. So why do you say that mourning is 7 days? So the Gemara says, Hahu miboya lei lichad reish lakish. This idea that Shavuos also counts as one of the holidays fits into the scheme of things as Reish Lakish teaches. Yom Reish Lakish Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Nesia. Minayin Lishmua Rechoika She'ena Neheges Ela Yoim Echad. From where do we know that if a person hears about the death of a close relative, but he hears about it a long time after the actual death? That's a Shmua. Shmua is hearing, getting the news, hearing Rechoka at a distance or a long time later. So from where do we know that when a person hears of a death, but it's a long time after the death? Now, we didn't say how long that is, but for our purposes, we'll just say we call this a Shmua Rechoka, that one observes an abbreviated mourning period of 1 day. What's the basis of that, Tichtiv? The same pasuk, V'afachti chagechem li'evel. The holiday was changed into a mourning period. V'ashlan atzeres, dikri chad yoma chag. And we find in the case of atzeres, atzeres is another name for the holiday of Shavuos, that a 1 day observance is also called a chag. So the use of Shavuos in this calculation regarding mourning has its role. And that is true in the case of Shmua Rechoika. But as far as the basis for a 7-day basic mourning period, that we learn from standard Chag, that's Pesach and Shavuos, and Sukkis, which are 7-day holidays. Tonu Rabbanan. And here we have a source that deals with the definitions of Shmua Kroiva and Shmua Rechoika. On the side of the Gemara, under our not no say the topic heading, Ma Hageder Shel Shmua Kroiva uShmua Rechoika. What are the boundaries, or how do we delineate these two concepts? Another point will be Kamo Zman Yesh Linhoig Avelus Behetaim. How long does one observe Avelus accordingly, based on Shmua Kroiva or Shmua Rechoika? the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, Shmua Kroiva Neheges Shiva Ushloshim. When one hears of the death in a recent fashion, so he observes 7 days and 30 days. Shmua Rechoika Eino Neheges Ala Yoim Echad. However, a delayed receipt of news that requires only 1 day of mourning observance. Ezo hi kroiva vezi rechoka. What defines something that's recent and something that is late? Krovo equals besoch shloshim. It means if you hear of the demise of a close relative within 30 days of their death, that will be called shmua kroiva and will necessitate the full-blown mourning observance, 7 days and 30 days. Rechoika is le'achar shloshim, divrei Rabbi Akiva. A shmua rechoika would be getting the news 30 days after the death. V'chachomim omrim, achas shmua kroiva v'achas shmua rechoika, noyheges shiva u'shloshim. The chomim are more restrictive, stringent opinion, and they demand a full observance of mourning, even in the case of Shmua Rechoika. Omar Rabba Barachan Rabbi Yochanan. Now, Rabbi Yochanan teaches us a principle or a rule when it comes to psak, when it comes to legal conclusions in the realm of mourning. And he says, Komokam Shata Moitzi Yochid Mekil for Rabbin Machmirin, Halocha Kirabim. In general, where you find a singular opinion, a minority opinion who is lenient, and a majority opinion that is stringent, you will follow the majority opinion. Chutz mizu, with the exception of mourning, shafal pish Rabbi Akiva mekel, the chachomim machmir, and even though Rabbi Akiva, who is the minority opinion, and he happens to be the lenient opinion, he says that Shmuel Rechoika is creates the need for a 1 day mourning period, and the Chachamim are Machmirim. They said that even a Shmua Rechoika, the delayed news, nevertheless demands a 7 and 30 day mourning observance. Halacha Kerebi Akiva. The halacha will nevertheless follow the minority opinion, who happens to be Mekil, the Amar Shmuel. Shmuel's rule is that when it comes to the rules of Avelus, we will always follow the lenient opinion. And we're saying, even if that lenient opinion happens to be a minority opinion. Now, as we go on in the Gemara, you notice a new marking, diamonds, and they're featured on the side under the Mivneh heading. Maisim b'shmu rechoiko al-ptiras horim. We're going to see two incidents involving delayed receipt of news regarding the death of parents. And in both cases, news comes from a place called Bei Chozoi, and that's highlighted with a double underline. Rav Chanina, Asya Le Shmua De Avuha Mi Bei Chozoi. Rabbi Chanina received, delayed news of his father's death from Bei Chozoi. Also Le Kame De Rav Chisda. And Rav Chanina came to Rav Chisda in questioning how to observe the rules of mourning. Omar Lei Shmuel Rechoiken and Heges Al Yoim Echad. And Rav Chisda told Rav Chanina that since you received the news in this delayed fashion in a Shmuel Rechoka form, you observe only 1 day. Rav Nosson Bar Ami also Lei Shmuel De Imei Mi Bei Chozoi. Similarly, Rav Nosson received a delayed piece of news of the death of his mother from Bei Chozoi. Also, the Kamei de Rava, the case came to Rava Malei. Hare Omru Shmu Rechoiken and Heges Al Yoim Echad Bilvad. And Rava ruled likewise, only 1 day of mourning. Eisvei, we raise a challenge, a contradiction to these rulings. Bameh Dvor Mamurim. Here's a source, a Tanaic source, and it says, when is it that we say that only 1 day is observed? B'chamisha meisei mitzvah. That's regard to the five other relatives that you are required to mourn over. Aval al oviv ve'al imoy shiv'a u'shloshim. But with regard to parents, and that the two stories that we saw in the last couple lines with the diamonds and the squiggle underlines, those were parents of one imay. There we require 7 days, even if it's a shmua rechoika. So this is a challenge to the psak of Rava. Amar Leh, so Rava answers, Yechida hi v'lo svira lan kavaseh. The source that you just cited is a minority opinion. It's a shitas yachid, and we do not follow his opinion. Desanya, and in order to illustrate that, we have the following source: Maisa umeis oviv shurabi tzolik beginzak vodiul acha shol shonim. Incident involving the death of the father of Rabbi Tzadok in Ginzak. Ginzak is the name of a place. And Rabbi Tzadok was informed 3 years later. That's a Shmuel Rechoika. Bov Shalos Rebbe Elisha ben Avuya of Zakenim Shimoi. And the question was posed to Elisha ben Avuya and the sages that were with him, the Amru. And they said, Nahoig Shiva Ushloshim. Observe 7:30. Ukshemes Benoi Shel Rabbi Achia Begela. Yoshev Alov Shiva Ushloshim. And with the death of the son of Rabbi Achya, he observed 7:30. The source, therefore, shows us that there was a Tanaic, there was an opinion that held that Shmuel Rechoka requires for death of parent 7:30. However, this is a yichidah, the opinion of a minority opinion, and hence we are not bound by that. Rashi adds, when we say this is a singular or minority opinion, and it's not that of Rabbi Akiva, because as far as Rabbi Akiva is concerned, and he was the Mekel before, he made no distinction between Aviv Imo versus the other relatives. So as far as a Mekel opinion in Avelus, we still have Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara now questions information that we just saw in this last source. Amy. Now, notice we have a question, and we call this a long question. In this source we saw Rabbi Achya, who we're going to associate initially with someone that we know more famously or more popularly as Rabbi Chiya. And in this source, there seems to be the observance, and it's understood that this source is a source featuring Shmua Rechoika. And we see Rabbi Chiya observing 7:30 days. So we're now going to ask on that information, Amy, is that really so? V'ha Rav, bar achva de Rabbi Chiya, dehu bar achde de Rabbi Chiya. Because as a result of, subsequent marriages, it turns out that Rabbi Chiyah's nephew was Rav. Now, how was Rav Rabbi Chiyah's nephew? Because Rabbi Chiyah's father had married a woman producing Ivo, who was Rav's father, and Rabbi Chiyah's father had a subsequent marriage to another lady, and that lady happened to have a daughter from a previous marriage that produced from a previous marriage that woman had a daughter, and Rabbi Chiya was a result of the union of a gentleman by the name of Rav Acha and a lady that we call Rachel. So if you look, we have a little chart on the side of the Gemara in which you can see the family relations, but if you look carefully, you'll notice that Rabbi Chiya's father had a son, Ivo, and Rabbi Chiya's mother had a daughter, Rav. So Ivo and the daughter of that daughter are not related to one another whatsoever. They, in turn, married, producing Rav. Now, Rav himself was the nephew of Rabbi Chiya, and as we described, Rav was the son of Rabbi Chiya's brother and the son of Rabbi Chiya's sister. But they were a half-brother and half-sister to Rabbi Chiya. Hence, they were able to marry one another. So, with that having been said, the story continues. Kisolik Lahosam, when Rav made a journey to Eretz Yisrael, where Reb Chiya lived, Omar Le, Reb Chiya asked his nephew, Avo Kayam, is your father, it's my brother, is Ivo, your father, is he alive? We continue at the top of Omid Beis. Omar Le, so Rav responds with a question. He says, Imo Kayemis, you're asking me about my father, why don't you ask me about my mother? Well, she happens to be your sister. Omar Le, so Reb Chiya says, Imo Kayemis, he asks, in turn, well, is your mother, namely my sister, alive? Omar Le, so Rav says back, but I didn't answer Abba Kayim, I didn't answer you about my father yet. Now, of course, you see this as a type of runaround. However, what was happening in this story is that both had actually died, and Rav didn't want to say it outright. He led Reb Chiya to believe that on his own, and he caught the message. He understood that, and Omar Le Lishame, so Reb Chiya, realizing that his brother and sister had died, Reb Chiya tells his servant, Chalots Li Min Oli, well, remove my shoes, I have to observe mourning. One of the rules of mourning is shoe removal. V'holech acharai kelai lebeis hamerchatz, and carry my clothing to the bathhouse. I want to go there, I want to take a bath. Shma Minotlas. From this story, we can draw three conclusions. And once again, the story involving Reb Chiya and the loss of his brother and sister, he received the news, but it was Shmua Rechoka. It was news a long time after their actual death. So we learn from this story three things. One, Shma Mino Ovel Osir Benilsa Sadol, that a mourner is forbidden to wear shoes. Number two, Ushma Mino Shmua Rechoiko Eino Neheges Elo Yoim Echod. Now here, note the markings. We've dashed underlined this and dot underlined, used an arrow forward you or backing you up to Omid Aleph. Rabbi Chiya here is concluding, one of the conclusions from this story is that Shmuel Rechoka is binding only for one day, and Ushma Mino Mitzas Hayom Kukulo, that we apply the rule of part of the day is as if as considered a whole day here as well. And that's by the fact that he removed his shoes, but later that very same day he was off to taking a bath, which is not in consonance with the rules of mourning. How could that be? Very simply, because he observed a part of the day. As a mourner, that is enough. But now, to tie this back into the issue of the Gemara, the problem presented that we're presenting now as a result of what we saw on Omid Aleph, there we saw Rabbi Achya, whom we're associating right now with the personage of Rabbi Chiya, as observing Shmua Rechoka 7 and 30. Here we have that same person, Shmua Rechoka, observing only one day. That's the question. Answer, it's not the same person. Rabbi Chiya Luchud, Rabbi Achya Luchud. Rabbi Chiya is one person, and Rabbi Achya is someone else. Rabbi Achya observed 7 and 30. Rabbi Chiya disagreed. Omar Rabbi Yossi Bar Ovin. Before we go further, you notice immediately some markings. We glance at the side under the Mivneh heading. The double underline highlights Shoma Shmua Kroiva, the hearing of the death, the recent death of a close relative. And the house marking highlights Beregel, B'Shabbos, on a holiday or on a Shabbos, Uvamoitsoy, and that at the end of either the holiday or the Shabbos, it then became a Shmua Rechoka, which in simple terms, he got the news on, we'll say, on day 29. And then the next day, or we'll say maybe more accurately, he got the news on day 30. Day 30 was either a Shabbos or it was a holiday. And the next, and at the end of the holiday or Shabbos, it already becomes Rechoka, it becomes old news. He received the news on, it was within the time frame that would make it a Shmua Krova. But as far as the time that he would be expected to observe things, it was already old news. The Gemara. Omar, so Rabbi Yossi Bar Ovin tells us, Shoma Shmua Krova, Beregel, on the holiday, he received news of the death of a relative within 30 days of the actual death. But after the holiday, it was already more than 30 days. Oile loy vi'enoi noheg eloyim echad. So the holiday counts toward the 30, and he observes only one day. Toni Rabbi Ado the min Kesri kamei to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Ado from Kesri. Kesri is the name of a place. He taught the following source to in the presence of Rabbi Yochanan. Shoma shmua kroiva b'shabbos. Umosoi shabbos nasis rechoika. He heard of on Shabbos of the death of a relative, and that was on day 30. Day 30 was a Shabbos. Motsoi Shabbos, it's already 31 days. It's Lechoika. Einoi noheg elo yoim echad. He is to observe only one day of Avelos. Korea o eino Korea. Now the question is, is there a need for rending one's garments? Rending of garments, kriya, is associated with avelus. In general, when one hears the news of a loss of a relative, he's expected to tear his garment. What about in this case? Now, on the side of the Gemara, we have a Nosei Mivne heading. We indicate here, Machloikis Amoroyim, Im Yesh Kriya Bali Shiva. Can there be tearing in isolation without the observance of a 7-day mourning period? In the course of the Gemara, a triangle will appear in alternating directions. This we call a Ma'akav, the attempt to keep track of the discussion. Triangle facing up will indicate Ain, there is no kriya if it's isolated from 7, and the inverted triangle will indicate that there is. So the Gemara raising this issue, is there tearing or not, where there is not going to be a 7-day mourning observed? Rabbi Moni Omar Eino Korea, Rabbi Hanina Omar Korea. Omar Le Rabbi Moni the Rabbi Chia. Rabbi Moni who says no, well he says to Rabbi Chia, Bishlama, Ladidi, according to me that says there is no tearing, things make sense. Hainu delo iko avelu shiva. Well, there's no tearing because there's no observance of 7 days. Elo leditcha di amris kirea, but according to you says you do tear kriya below shiva miiko. Is there precedent for tearing without a 7-day mourning observance? Now, in response, the lo, what, and it cannot be? Is it? Can it not be? The ha tanya, isi avua de Rabbi Zeir of Amrila, achva de Rabbi Zeir, kame de Rabbi Zeir. So isi teaches in a source in the presence of Rabbi Zeir. Now, who isi was? There are two versions. Either he was the father of Rabbi Zeir or he was the brother of Rabbi Zeir. He teaches the following: mi she'ein lo chaluk lukroa. Then is daming lo, someone who didn't have a shirt. A choluk is a garment that one, in the case of tearing, would have to tear. But he didn't have a garment to tear when he heard of the death of his relative. And is daming lo, and he then later got one. Besoich shiva korea, if it's within 7 days, so he tears. La'achar shiva, now note, we have a brackets, and the brackets help us to see exactly what Rabbi Hanina was trying to argue, that there is tearing even without 7. If you skip the brackets, we see here the source was saying the Achar Shiva al Oviv Valimo Korea Vaholech. He tears. Even though he already observed the 7 days, he tears anyway, even though the tearing is divorced from or is in isolation of the 7-day mourning period. So now we have a note also, by the way, that there's a starred note, a singular star in the margin. Hasiba shem shachnu es hamizgeres Demashma meharach shezu moker shurbizera li made. The reason for the continuation of the frame is that this entire source is part of that which was being taught. Now, let's continue. Let's start the source again once we've already made the relevant comments about it. The following source was taught: Misha ein lo choluk likrov in his daming lo. Someone who didn't have a shirt or he didn't have this garment to tear when he heard of the death of the relative, and he chanced upon it later. When besoch shiva, if within the 7 days, korea li achar shiva, eino korea. Now we're reading this straight through with the bracketed section. It says, if after the 7 he doesn't tear, oni Rabbi Zer Basrei, Rabbi Zer then responded upon hearing the source up till this point. He then said, Bamed v'mumurim b'chamisha meisei mitzvah. When does this apply, that after the 7 days there is no tearing? That's with regard to the news of the death of the 5 other relatives, aval al ovliv v'al imoy kureya v'holech. But with regard to the death of one's mother or father, there is a tearing, even though it's after the 7 days of mourning. Now, the triangle re-straightens out it, with the point facing up. So this is the response to this source, and says, Kitanya ahi, this source taught about a tearing after the 7 days of mourning. That's lichvoid aviv imo. It's an act of honor, but it's not part of the basic rules of mourning. So that when you're dealing with basic rules of mourning, and that was what we were discussing till now, if you have a situation that you're not going to be observing the 7 days of mourning, as is the case we saw above with regard to a shmua that turned into a shmua rechoika after Shabbos or the holiday, there's not going to be the observance of 7 days of mourning, there will be no kriya. As you can see, there's a slash mark that appears indicating that we now have a new trend of thought. On the side, we have a topic heading. The nosei, it reads, Krovim Shiesh Lis'avel Aleihem, relatives concerning whom we are to mourn. Tonu Rabbanan, Kol Ha'omur B'Parshas Kehanim Shekein Metame Lohen Ovel Mis'avel Aleihem. All the relatives mentioned in the Torah in Parshas Emor, which is the parsha that deals with laws pertaining to Kohanim and the relatives unto which a Kohen, who in general is warned against defilement to the dead, when it comes to his near relatives, other than an actual Kohen Godol, the high priest, but a standard Kohen, is to defile himself to his close relatives. So all those relatives that a Kohen is expected to defile himself to, a mourner, ovel misabel alan, over those kind of relatives, a person practices the rules of mourning. The Eluhain, these are those relatives. Ishto, one's wife, oviv v'imo, mother, father, mother, ochiv v'ochoso, brother, sister, beno ubito, son and daughter. Hosifu alehen, added to this list where there is avelus, even though a kohen would not defile himself, are the following. And we're going to talk about half brother, sister in a moment. Ochiv, the achoisoi habsula, Me'imoi, a brother and a virgin sister from a common mother. We should point out that Achoso Habesula, a virgin sister from common father, a Kohen will defile himself, will be part of her funeral. And another addition to this, we'll call exceptions, is v'achoisoi nesua, a married sister. Now, a married sister in general, a kohen, will not defile himself to her upon her death. She's married to someone else. So a married sister, a kohen, would not mitama. Bein me aviv, bein me imo. The married sister, whether she's from a common father or a common mother, even though a kohen would not be mitama, a person will mourn over her death. When we say will mourn, means practice the rules of mourning. Ukshem shemisabel, aleim kach misabel al shniim shelahem, divrei Rabbi Akiva. And just as one mourns over them, one will mourn over those who they have to mourn. Now, what do we mean by that? Let's take a look first at the Rashi. Al shniim shelahem, avi aviv, val ben beno, the one's father's father. You know, that's a second generation going up. Or ben beno, it's a grandson, second generation going down. Val ben bito, val ben achoso. So, just like we mourn over the relatives in the list, we'll mourn over their second generation as well. That's Rabbi Akiva's opinion. Now, but Tosfos qualifies this a bit. Notice Tosfos al shniim shelahem, pirush hanolodim mehem, those that are born from them. Aval be'achem ubenoshoseim hoya mesupok. Okay, but as far as their brothers or their wives, so that is a matter of doubt. Let's continue though in the Gemara. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Eino misabel elo al ben beno v'al avi aviv. Rabbi Shimon Elazar is more restrictive, and he says that this idea of the second generation of all the relatives is not across the boards. It's limited to one's son's son or one's father's father. With regard to their death, only there will we say that the mourning will apply. V'chachomim omrim kol shemisabel olav misabel imo. The Chum say that anyone concerning whom you would have to mourn over, you will mourn together with them. Well, let's think about that. If one has to mourn over his brother, if his brother is in mourning, so and now why would his brother be in mourning? Because his brother lost his son, in other words, one's nephew died. So that's the opinion of the Chachamim. If it's a type of relative concerning whom you would mourn in their death, you will mourn together with them when they are observing mourning. Well, isn't that the same as the earlier opinion that we saw in this source, Chachamim Hainu Tanakamo? The Chachamim here is the same as the first Tana. We saw the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. He said that there's a list of relatives, and just as you mourn over them, you will mourn over their second generation as well. So what's the difference between these two opinions? Iko binayu imoi babayas. The difference will be the need to practice mourning together with them when they are mourning. Is that only when you are together with them in the house, or even not so? We take a look at the Rashi, Imoi Babayas, the Tanakamo lo boi shie oviv oi benoi imoi babayas v'yoyshev imo. The Tanakamo doesn't require, in order for you to observe the rules of mourning, for, let us say, one's father who's mourning over his father's demise. You don't have to be together with your father in the house. Or, let's say, your son is mourning his son's demise. In other words, one's grandson's passing. In order for the grandfather to observe mourning because of his grandson's demise, so the son, who is the actual mourner, doesn't have to be there. The Chachamim, Rashi goes on, the last opinion in the source, Bo Imo Babayis. They say that you're not obligated to express the mourning, to sit on the ground, to have the shoes removed, unless the actual mourner is there at the same time. Now, an illustration of this is featured now in the Gemara. Ki havi amar le Rav Lechia Brei, as Rav taught his son. V'chein amar le Rav Huna le Rabo Brei, likewise Rav Huna told his son Rabo. Be'apo nehog avilusa. In her presence, you know, as we saw in the list of different relatives over whom you have to mourn, that would be over one's wife. And we're also pointing out that you have to mourn when they are mourners, so you have to mourn with them. So the teaching here says that when she is in your presence, when your wife is, let's say your wife is mourning over the loss of her father. So when she is an avela, so you have to, and she is in your presence, so you have to observe the rules of avelus. Below apo, if she's not in your presence, lo tinug avelusa. So then you don't have to, you can sit, let us say, on a regular chair. You can wear your shoes. Mar ukva shachiv le bar chamuha. Mar ukva, his father-in-law's son died. So that would mean that that Marukfa's wife's brother died. Savar lemesiv ole shivo shloshim. So Marukfa figured, well, it's a relative of a relative. In other words, my wife has to sit shiva, so I have to observe shiva as well. So he figured I'm going to observe the rules of 7 and 30. Earl Rav Huna Ligabe. Rav Huna entered. Earl means he entered. Notice we have a long marking here. Rav Huna entered Ashkeche and met Mar Ufa. Omar Le Rav Huna commented, Tsudenaisa Bois Lemechal. Are you trying to take advantage of the meals that are provided for a mourner? Others provide the meals, certainly on the first day, for a mourner. Tsudaisa means meals. The meals of a mourner, boy, so you want to eat? In other words, you're observing this morning in order to save money, meal money. Lo umru lichvoid ishto, when we speak about observing the mourning in honor of one's wife, Elochomiv v'chamoiso. That's when one's wife is mourning over her father's demise or her mother's demise. In your case, it was your wife's brother, not your wife's father or mother that died. It was your wife's brother that died. And therefore, you are not expected to observe the rules of Shivan Shloshim under those circumstances. Desanya. We have a Tanaic source, and we're also numbering it with a diamond number 1 and later a diamond number 2. We will use this numbering later on. Desanya, mi shemes chomiv oy chamoisai. Someone whose father-in-law or mother-in-law died. And we note above the line that the person's wife is now mourning. So a person's wife is mourning over the loss of her father or mother. Eino rashoi lochufes ishto lios kecheles vos pokeses. He cannot force his wife to adorn herself. Kocheles and pokeses. Kocheles is cosmetics. Eye cosmetics. Pokeses is making up her hair. Ela koife mitoso. The husband flips over his bed. Venoig imo avelus. And observes along with her the period of mourning. Vechein he. Likewise, a woman, the wife, Shemes Chomio Uchamoser, her father-in-law or mother-in-law died, namely her husband is now mourning over the loss of one of his parents. Eino Rasho Lios Kuches Lios Kufeses, she cannot adorn herself. Elo Kaifa Mitosa Venehegis Imo Avela, she flips over her bed and observes mourning with her husband. V'tanya Idach, another source says, Afalpi Shomru Eino Rasho Lochofis Ishto Lios Kuches Lios Bokeses. Even though when one's wife is mourning, he, the husband, cannot force her to put on cosmetics and make up her hair. Be'emes amru moizeges loy esakais. It is said, though, that she fills him a cup of a drink, of wine. She can fill up wine for him. Umatsas loy mito, and makes up his bed. Now, note, that means that the husband has not inverted the bed. So this source describing one's wife is mourning. That's what we wrote in between the lines, just the line above. His wife is mourning. Nevertheless, there's certain things that she can do, and there's more depth to this idea. This idea of filling up a cup of wine is a certain expression of closeness when one does that, and that could lead to intimacy, and intimacy at this time is strictly forbidden. Nevertheless, she is allowed to do that, and she's allowed to make up his bed. And if she's making up his bed, that means that he hasn't flipped over his bed. And she can also wash her husband's face, hands, and feet. Well, let's take a look at these two sources. Source number one, diamond number one, we saw wife was a mourner, and in that source we saw husband flips over his bed as an act of mourning, expression of mourning together with his wife. And here we see wife is in mourning and the husband is not flipping over his bed. These two sources would seem to be contradictory. So rather, the resolution of these two sources is very simply. So source number one is the wife is a mourner as a result of her father or mother's death, namely the husband's father-in-law or mother-in-law died. And then we impose the mourning restrictions on the husband to observe along with his wife. Kan, source number two, Bishar Kroivim, that's where the wife is mourning over the loss of other relatives, her brother, her sister, etc., not father nor mother. Shma Mino, this is conclusive proof to the point that Rav Huna was making to Mar Ukva. Tanyo Nami Hachi, and we have another source that supports this. Lo Omru L'Chvoid Ishto Elo Chomiv V'Chamoisu B'Vad. The idea of a husband observing mourning along with his wife, that's only when the wife is mourning over her father or mother, namely the man's Chomiv father-in-law or the man's mother-in-law. As we go on in the Gemara, we're going to notice some sources, and we're going to notice actually some diamonds in the Gemara, and on the side of the Gemara, under the Nosei Mivne heading, we've indicated Mekoros Shikorim Hakriyo Bamida, sources to indicate that one rends his garments only when standing. In other words, it's necessary to be in a standing position for fulfilling the requirement of rending one's clothing. Amemar Shochiv Lebar Brei. Amemar lost his grandson, the son of his son, Korah Iluya, and in accordance with the rules that we saw above, he tore his clothing. When we say the rules we saw above, we saw in the source above that just like one mourns over specific relatives upon their demise, if those relatives themselves are experiencing avelu, so the other one observes mourning along with them. So here Rav Amemar's son became an avel, so Amemar's father observed the rule of tearing, and he tore as a result. Also, Bray, Korah B'Ape. Amemar's son came and is now in the presence of Amemar. Amemar tore a second time, another tear in his garment. Idkar Demushiv Korah, he remembered that he tore while he was seated. Kom Korah Mumar, he tore a third time standing. Omer Le Rav Ashi Lamemar, Kriya Demu'umad Menolon. From where do you know that tearing is done while standing? Answer, Dichtiv Vayokom Iyo Vayikra Es Mi'ilo. We've underlined the main words. He, Iyov, stood up upon hearing the news of the death of his children, and he tore his garment. We continue at the top of Chof Aleph Omer Aleph Elo Me'ata. Well, if that be the case, that you're basing your rule on the words that are part of the storyline in these psukim, are you going to say the following is also true? The omad v'omar lo chofatzti lakachta. This this pasuk deals with a man who says, I don't want to take her in marriage. That he has to be standing when he says that, v'hotanya, but we have learned, bein yoshev, bein oimed, bein muta, whether he is seated, standing, or leaning. So that even though the pasuk indicates the gentleman's refusal to marry, and it says, and he stood up, the halacha doesn't require that. Omar le, so he said in response, hasam loksi vayamoid vayomar. In the pasuk, you don't have that verb form, and he stood up and said, in that verb form, vayamoid vayomar, hachoksi vayokom vayikra. This verb form indicates that in order to accomplish the kriya, you have to stand up beforehand. Now, as we indicated before, we had a number in the space to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text at the bottom of Omen Aleph, a number 1, which introduced a source regarding kriya tima umad. And here we have number 2, Omar Romi Bar Chama, Minayin L'Kriya Shihi Mu'umad. From where do we know that Kriya is done while standing? And here we have another marking scheme. The triangles, they appear on the side under the Mivneh heading, a Ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of a back and forth type discussion. So Romi Bar Chama raises this question, from where do we know that Kriya is to be done only while standing? Shenemar Vayokom Iov Vayikra. And it's interesting to note, he quotes the same pasuk that we saw as source number 1. Iyov stood up and he tore. The Gemara rejects this and says, Dilma milso yisertahu da'ovad. Maybe Iyov was doing more than the letter of the law. De'ilo te'mahachi, if you're not going to say that, you're going to say that what Iyov did represents the actual letter of the law, what are you going to do with this pasuk? Vayogaz es rosho, and he shaved his head. Hachi nami. Now Iyov, as everyone probably knows, was a man that, and you can see this at the beginning of Sefer Iyov, that his sons and daughters died. So we see him tearing his garments, and now we also see him shaving his head. Is that also necessary? No, it's not. So that you can't cite Iyov as the basis of basic letter of the law requirements when it comes to expressions of mourning. He went beyond, so that maybe his standing up is also beyond letter of the law. So, but and we're looking for a source where we can say affirmatively that it is letter of the law. Elo mehocha, rather from this source, vayokam hamelech vayikra es begodav. And the king stood up and he tore his clothing. The Gemara again comments, maybe not so, the Dilmo Milsi Yaser to Ovid, maybe in that story David HaMelech was doing more than was required by letter of the law. Dilo Temochi, if you're going to not say like that, huh? If you're not going to say thusly, what about this? It says Vayishkav Ortsa, and he lay down on the ground. He lay down to lie on the ground. Is that also required? V'otanya, we have a source that says otherwise. Yoshav al gabi mito al gabi kise al gabi udaini lo yotzu yodechoy vaso the omar Rabbi Yochanan shalokiyem kfias hamita. If a person sits on a bed or a chair or on a udaini, a large crushing unit, he hasn't fulfilled his requirement if he did not flip over his bed. So, what do we see? We see that lying on the ground is not part of the, called the letter of the law with regard to the rules of mourning. So that sleeping on the floor is not a fulfillment. You have to flip over the bed. So you can't say that David, that the Pasuk in Shmuel Beis, Perek Yud Gimel, where it says the king stood up and tore his garment, represents letter of the law, because if you say that, then how are you going to account for Vayishkav Ortsa? Is that also part of the law? No, when we know that you don't fulfill the laws of mourning just by Vayishkav Ortsa, you've got to flip over the bed. Omar Lay, so he responds, Ke'ein Artsa. In other words, that Vayishkav Artsa really is a fulfillment of letter of the law, that he flipped over his bed. And he slept on an inverted bed. That's like sleeping on the ground. So that Vayishkav Artsa does represent letter of the law. By the same token, Vayokam HaMelech V'Yikras Begadav, standing up in order to tear, also represents letter of the law, so it serves as a source for Kriya Me'umad. Of course, as we indicated a while ago in our previous year, that the Sugya of Avelus continues to the end of the Perek, so being that we're in the context of our Daf Yomi Shiurim, this is a convenient pausing point. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our Shiur for today.